Tonight's shir in Parshas Mishpatim. It says in Pirkei Avos, Halomin michaver o perech achad, o halacha achas, o pasuk echad, o dibur echad, o afilu os achas, tzarich linhag bo kavod. If you learn from a person, his friend, one halacha, one pasuk, there's even one letter, you have to give a person kavod. So the question is, what can we possibly learn from one letter? So there's a beautiful pshat from this week's Sedra, actually. The Gra says, on the pasuk, v'chi yiftach ish bor, or yichre ish bor, v'lo yichasenu. Talks about a person digs a bor. So it says, if a person uncovers a bor, yiftach ish bor, or yichre ish bor, or he digs a bor, and he doesn't cover it up, he leaves it open, so an animal falls in, whatever, he's chayv. So the Gra points out that the first bor, when it said yiftach ish bor, is written with a vav, bet vav resh. The second bor, o ki yichre ish bor, is bet resh, without a vav, bor without a vav, chaser. So what's why? So he says, very nice, that the Gemara asks, the pasuk says if you uncover a bor, you're chayev. And then it says, and if you dig a bor, you're chayev. Well, kol shekein, if you uncover a bor, you didn't even dig it, you're chayev. Surely if you dig the bor, you're chayev. Why does the Torah have to tell me this? So the Gemara answers, levi kore acha kore. Meaning, the digging is referring to a case where first person digs a bor only 9 tfachim. And if an animal falls in 9 tfachim and dies, you're not chayev. Only if it's 10 tfachim. So along comes another person that digs that one little extra tefach, and then it makes it to 10, then the person is chayev. So Mele, he says, that explains it. Why? When one opens a bor, and he's chayav, that's only if he opens a bor that is 10 tfachim. So therefore, it has to be a full bor, beit vav resh, it's malay with the vav. But the second half of the pasuk is talking about when a person just adds a little bit, one tefach. And therefore, the bor is, he's not digging a whole bor, he's digging a tiny little bor, just adding that little extra tefach. So therefore, the bor is written with, not malay, it's just written beit resh, chaser, because he's just adding a little bit. However, there is another thing we can learn from a letter, and that is the beginning of the Sedra. It says, ve'eila mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem. And Rashi writes that any time it says just Eila by itself, it puzzles the Rishonim. Means whatever it was until now, that's that. But now, that's not the case. Ela, this. New thing. Where when it says Ve'ela, that's an inclusion. We're including, we're continuing what we said, and we're adding on to it. So the question's obvious. What are we adding on? The first letter, the first word in the parsha is ve'ele hamishpatim. So what are we adding on to? So says the Bar Tanura, we're adding on what it said in the end of last week's Sedra. Well, what did it say in the end of last week's Sedra? It's coming to include the things that we learned in the last week's Sedra. Just like those things were from Sinai, which was the giving of the Torah, of course, was at Har Sinai. So just like the things we learned last week's Sedra, the Seiros HaDibur, etc., that was given at Sinai, they're obviously from Sinai. So too, the things we're learning in this week's Sedra, Eila Mishpatim, they're also from Sinai. Meaning that the question is asked, well, we already know that. We already know everything from Sinai. Where we learn that from? From Shemitah. Right? Famous Rashi, Manya, Shemitah, Itzel, Har Sinai. Why does it say Bahar Sinai when it comes to the mitzvah Shemitah, Parshas Bahar? So Rashi says, just like all the details of Shemitah are from Har Sinai, so too, everything's from Shemitah. Everything's from Har Sinai. So we already know this, asked the Bar Tanura. So why do we have to be told over here, Ve'ela Mishpatim, just like what we learned in last week's Sedra was from Har Sinai, also this week's Sedra is Sinai. We know everything's from Har Sinai already. So he said that if I was learning from Shemitah, I might say, well, that, what's from Sinai? Oh, Shemitah, which are mitzvahs ben adam lamakom. That's a mitzvah not between man and his fellow man. It's man and God. You have to let the land go fallow. So I might say, okay, that's from Har Sinai. But Parshas Mishpatim is full of what? Civil law. Things between man and man. Well, that's not from God, one might think. That's, we know, every country has its laws, you know, civil laws. So I might think that that's not from Har Sinai. Therefore, we need a special limud from here. Ve'ela, no. This is also from Sinai. These mitzvahs of Ben Adam Lechaviro are also from Har Sinai as well. It means a beautiful Emek Davar. He says that could be a tait for an Inaseh V'Nishma. Right? That a person could say, what did Klal Yisrael say? Naseh. When did they say Naseh? Those are mitzvahs, he says, Ben Adam Lemakom. Meaning, we'll do them. We never heard of these things before. All these mitzvahs that we never heard of, tefillin, shemitah, whatever, new things, you know. Klal Yisrael said, we'll do it, though. We'll do it. But the mishpatim, these are things that people were doing until now. You know, between a man and his fellow man, doing nice things for his fellow man. Well, that we've been doing already. So they didn't say, naseh, we'll do it, because they were doing it already. So what did they say? Nishma, well, we'll do it, l'shem shamayim. Until now, we were doing it because we thought it was a nice thing to do. But now, what's coming from Har Sinai takes on a different look to it. Now we're doing it in order to, because to fulfill Hashem's name, to fulfill Hashem's work, He wants us to do it. He says here that it's a known thing that the yortzeit of the Rabbeinu Yisrael Misalant, he says, always comes out, which is Kafei Shvat, on the week of Parshas Mishpatim. As it happens this year, it doesn't. Comes out actually on the day after, on the Sunday. It's going to be Kafei Shvat. But, okay, it's close. But it usually comes out around Parshas Mishpatim. And this is a remez to the fact we know that Rabbi Yisrael Salant was very big on Ben Adam Lechaviro. That was his start of the Musar movement, etc. So there's a famous story with Rabbi Yisrael Salant. Once one of his wealthy Tamidim invited him for Shabbos. I want to come to his house for Shabbos. So Rabbi Yisrael said to him, no problem, but I have to just make one condition. He says, what's that? He says that I run the show. I run the Shabbos table. So he's telling me, if that's your condition, please, you know, the Rebbe, you know, wanted, you know, my pleasure, you know. Okay. So the Israel came after Shul, came to his house, and he took over. So what did he do? First, Shalom Aleichem. He zipped through Shalom Aleichem. He didn't say each verse three times. He just said, Shalom Aleichem, Bo'achem Hashanah, Baruchim L'Shalom, Tzitzchem L'Shalom, each thing just once, da-da-da-da-da. Quickly went to the Kiddush, make the Kiddush, says, okay, yeah, let's go, let's wash. And they washed. They sat down, he says, okay, where's the fish? You know, hey, brought the fish, and the whole time the maid is, you know, whipping out the courses, she comes in, and the Baal Bais is like, what's going on over here, you know? And the Baal Bais says, okay, yeah, now we'll start a Zemer, and he says, no Zemiris now, next course, let's get the soup. And he gets the soup, and then the Baal Bais is like, what's going on over here? He says, oh, okay, let's, Dvar Torah, fine. I'd like to say Dvar Torah based on this week's. And then Rabbi Yisrael says, no, main course. No Dvar Torah now. Main course. Third the main course. And Baal Pai says, well, and before you know it, he's asking for dessert. And he's saying, sing Shir Malas. And he says, but Rabbi, what? He says, first let's bench and then we'll talk. So he finished benching. And then he says, where's your maid? He says, well, she's in the kitchen, you know. He says, can you please call her out for a second? He says, fine. So he calls her out. And Rabbi Yisrael says to her, first of all, I want to thank you for the food and everything. Everything was delicious. And I'd like to, you know, apologize to you. Because, you know, I really, you know, put you in a mad rush, you know, one course after another, whatever. You don't have time to breathe. And, you know, I apologize, you know, to rushing you through everything like this. So she goes, Rebbe, you don't have to apologize. He says, Lahafech. He says, I owe you a thanks. He says, this is why. He says, well, every week, you know, I'm working here, and Baal Bais takes his time with his mirrors and his Vitei Torah and this and that, and we don't finish till like midnight, you know. And you don't think I have a house? I have a husband, and he's waiting for me at home. And every Friday night, the time I get home, it's like after midnight, and he's, you know, then that's only then we can sit down and he makes kiddush and we eat the meal, whatever, and I'm totally exhausted, obviously, from it's a long night, and this is every week like this. And you can come here every week, she said to him. You know, you zip through, and now I can come home and have a nice Shabbos meal like a mensch, not at midnight, you know? So Fine, so he turned to the Balabais and he says, okay, you know, if you want to talk Torah now, you want to sing, can sing all you want, you know, after the maid can go, let her go home. So you have to see, you know, you have to understand, it's very nice to, you know, Shabbos table there, but not at the expense of somebody else, right? You have to think about your fellow man. Brings here another idea of the extra letter, the Eilei Mishpatim. Like Rashi says, it's connecting the last parsha to this parsha. So he brings from Gaon HaTzadik Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Lubchinsky, Shem Yimkom Damo. He was the Mashgiach Abranowitz, and he brings down Rashi. Rashi says the connection Ve'ele Mishpatim is connected the Ve'ele to last week's Sedra. So what does it say at the end of last week's Sedra? It says that talks about these things which are seemingly to us not understandable. It says, "Lo tasuni ti Elohe kesef," the pasuk says. You shouldn't make these silver gods. So Rashi says, this is coming to warn us about the kruvim, okay, that they should be made of gold. And if you make them of silver, then that's like you're making other gods, because I want them of gold, the kruvim that were on the ara. And then the pasuk says, "Velohe zahav lo taselechem." It's coming to warn us that you shouldn't, says Rashi, add more. There should be two kruvim on the aron, and not three. Three or four, whatever, you add more, then if you do so, that's Elohe Zahav. That's like you're making a golden image that's, that I didn't ask for. So, do we understand that? Do we understand why a kruv has to be gold and not silver? Do we understand why there has to be two kruvim and not three? Of course not. These are things that are totally beyond our understanding. So Mele, so too, you have to realize that just like these chukim about the kruvim, in the end of last week's sedra, are things that are beyond us, so too, ve'ele ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem, the vav, connecting this week's sedra of the mishpatim, when we think we do understand it, you have to realize that you don't understand them either. It's a very, very deep ideas. We might understand the basic concepts of Ben Adam L'Chavero, but each mitzvah has its tremendous depth. And if we think we understand and we do it because of the way we understand things, we're actually lessening and taking away from the mitzvah. He brings a mashal, says, imagine a person, like the old days, they used to, you know, heat up the house with the wood and fireplace, so he takes his, chops up the wood, and he puts the wood in the fireplace, heats it up, whatever, and what happens? He leaves the doors and all the windows open, in the middle of the winter. So, okay, it's, you know, it's heating up, but it's all going out the window. Right? What kind of heating is that? So too, he says, if we put our das into the Torah and say kedilu, as if we understand, we are lessening the mitzvah. As if it's nothing. It's half going out the window. So he brings a interesting Balatanya, and he writes that tamia mitzvahs lo nisgalu. He says the reasons really of the mitzvahs were not revealed to us. V'heim l'malam yaseichel v'havana. They're beyond our understanding and our reasoning. And even sometimes when it is explained, and we say, yeah, yeah, we understand it, I understand it. But don't think that that's it. You understand everything. No. There's all kinds of deep ideas that are way beyond us. We said at the beginning that these are... Eilei Mishpatim are like the chukim of last week's sedra. We don't understand. And another point, says the Balatanya, he adds that whenever there is a time, shebechol mikre ein lanu lekayemet mitzvah gamim tuvan lanu etachlita ela kemitzvah samelach. And even when we do, fine, you do understand. Still, don't do it because you're doing because you think this is the right thing to do. You should do it because Hashem commanded. It should be L'Shem Shemayim. Brings here a story that when he used to be in the yeshiva in Chedera of Galinsky, he said once a scientist came, and he says he came from the Technion, which is in Haifa, and he said he came to yeshiva to debate, to argue against the Torah, obviously, and So Rav Galinsky said, exactly what do you want to debate? And he says, I want to debate religion. Religion. So he said, I asked him, what's your area of what do you, you're a scientist, in what area are you a scientist? So he says, aeronautics. So he says, what would you say if I'd like to have a debate, an argument about aeronautics with you? What would you say about that? And he says, if you tell me that, he says, obviously you're not serious. He says, why? He says, because you don't have the basic knowledge, basic concepts of aeronautics to start arguing with me about aeronautics. So he says, why do you say that? You know, I know these the five main concepts of thing. So he says, whatever you know, you're just some saying these, that, but you don't really understand the depth, really how things work or whatever. You never studied it. You don't know. So he says, you know what? You're right. I agree with you. I really don't have a very deep understanding of aeronautics. But similarly, it's the same way with you, with Judaism. You don't have a very deep understanding of Judaism either, that you can come and argue with and debate about it. So he says, why do you say that? What do you mean I don't have? I know the basic concepts. He says, what? Says Rav Galinsky, like Chagim, for example, the holidays, you know? And he goes, yeah, I know the holidays. So Galinsky says, yeah, I know you know the holidays. You know that you have to masquerade on Purim, and then on Chanukah you eat donuts, and you steal the Afikoman on Pesach, and on Shabbos you throw stones, right? He says, that's what you know about the Chagim, right? So he says, listen, if you want to be serious, he goes, sit down and learn for a few years, and then we'll debate. So he said, the truth of the matter is, he says afterwards, that what I told the guy wasn't really true either. He says, you can learn 2 years, you can learn 20, you can learn 100, you can 1,000 years, you'll never be able to debate Hashem. You can't argue with Hashem. This is Hashem's Torah here. We can't debate it, can't argue with it. Hashem knows what he's doing. So it's not going to help the extra 2 years either, he says, really. He says, once a guy came to Rav Galinsky, and he said he wants to know if I can find a compromise for him when it comes to keeping Shabbos. So he says there was once a maskil. He came to the Malbim and he says, maybe you can find a heter for me, a halachic heter to smoke on Shabbos. So the Malbim said to the maskil, I think I can find a heter to smoke on Shabbos. You do with a shinui. She says, oh yeah, what shinui is that? He says, you put the lit part in your mouth. Anyway, so he says that I answered this guy, he wants to have compromise with Shabbos. So he said, listen, he said, the Shabbos isn't mine that I can compromise with it. Not my Shabbos, I can give you compromises. Shabbos belongs to Hashem. He says, look, what I can do for you is, I can dive into Hashem, that he can bring you up there to him, and you can discuss it with him, you know, up there. Maybe he'll find something for you, but you know, but I can't do it down here, I'm sorry. So, what do you say? And he dropped that subject and went on to another. Okay. Pasuk says, "In kesef talve asami eshani imach, lo tia lo kenoshe, lo tisimun alav neshech." So Rashi says these are one of the eims. Normally, eim is optional. If you decide to do this, here the eim is eim kesef talve. You have to give a loan, even though it says eim, and eshani imach, you give a loan to the. To the poor man with you, it says, Loti, you can't be a kenoshe, you can't pressure him to pay back, you can't take interest, etc. So he says that sometimes, you know, it's difficult to give tzedakah. Okay, you have to give tzedakah, but it's difficult sometimes. You know, a person might think, look, I work hard for this money and whatever, and I just give it to this guy, you know, stama, after all the hard work, and I can't even, you know, make any money, I can't charge interest or whatever, I can't even pressure him to pay back, you know, it's not fair, and it's hard to give money. So, in order to make it easier to do so, the pasuk's hinting over here. Im kesef talve esami, it's hard for you to lend your money. So to make it a little easier, es ha'ani imach. As a hint, imagine the ani is with you. Just in other words, change places in your mind with this ani. You know, how would you like to feel if you were on his side, if you were the ani? wouldn't feel so good. You wouldn't, you would be very happy somebody gave you some, but you would be very upset if somebody didn't, wouldn't you? So that's how you have to feel when you're on the giving end. As in Kesa Talve Asami, it's hard. As Amin Hani Imach. Imagine it, the Yuru the Yani. How would you feel then? Brings a Maisa with the Divrei Chaim Mitzanz. There was once a wealthy man, and he had a son that was Mushlam B'chol Amaylus, and he was looking for a shidduch for his son. And he found the daughter of another wealthy man, and they made the shidduch, and each side promised, you know, quite a large sum of money to set up the couple, and that the bachur will be able to learn after he gets married, etc., etc. Fine. And then, before the wedding, one day, this gvir that was marrying off his son, he found out that the father of the kala ran into financial straits and difficult straits, and he went bankrupt, lost all his money. And this gvir thought, you know, well, that takes care of that. I'm not going to mashadach my son to this poor man anymore. And so he felt bad for him, but look, you know, things like this happen, and obviously we have to call off the shidduch. But, you know, just to make sure, you know, just to get the stamp of approval, he decided to go to the Rebbe, his Rebbe, the Reb Chaim Mitzanz, Divrei Chaim. So fine. So he came to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, oh good, I'm glad you came. So he took the Gvir took this as a stamp of approval, and he says, okay, good, you know, you're glad I'm here. In other words, you hear the story, and you want to, you know, give my support me in my decision, of course, that I have to break off the shidduch with this guy, whatever. And he said, Chas v'chalil. He says, no, but didn't the Rebbe say I came? He says, yeah, I'm glad you came, because I want to tell you something. He says, what is that? He said, you know, how could you do what you're canceling the shidduch? And he says, why don't you, in your mind, why don't you switch places? How would you like to be in his? How would you like it if you lost all your money? He says, Rebbe, how can you give me an ayin hara like that? He says, no, seriously, let's say you would lose all your money, right? And not him, and the other side didn't. How would you feel if you were on the other side? When he's a rich man, you're a poor man, and he wants to call off the shidduch. It's bad enough that you lost your other money and you lose the shidduch also? You wouldn't be very happy, would you? No, not at all. He says, so how could you treat him like that? So he said, if you want my advice, he says, don't break off the shidduch. Not only that, you're a wealthy man, help the other guy out, help the other, your mechutin out, send him some money, help him get back on his feet or whatever, and then don't break it up, and you'll see, you'll get a tremendous bracha. So that's fortunately what happens, though. People, they forget that that's the other person, and it's important to put yourself into their shoes to understand the other person's plight. It brings here another maisa. There was the earlier generation, says the Hasidim, they used to go to their Rebbe sometimes for a week or for weeks to be with the Rebbe, and they used to stay in different homes around the area. So he said there was one fellow that he was very kind and generous. He always put up the Hasidim in his home, and then he happened to run into some money, and he became a wealthy man. So he redid his house, made a really fancy rugs, fancy this and marble and everything. And as a result, the people weren't so comfortable to come to his house anymore, because before they can come in with their boots on and this, it didn't matter. Now, you know, it's fancy rugs and this. Truth is, he wasn't so happy with them anymore either. So he let them know that, and they ended up not going to his house anymore. Anyways, once when the Hasidim came to the Rebbe, so the Rebbe asked them, you know, so how's your stay and this and that, and they happened to mention that they're not staying by this guy anymore. And he says, why not? So they told him the story, he became rich, and now he's not interested in us anymore, whatever. So the Rebbe said, oh, I'm here. So what happened? This man lived, they invited, the area invited this Rebbe to come by him for Shabbos, then for Shabbos. So this wealthy man, he asked the Rebbe if he could please stay by him. So the Rebbe said, sure, you know, my pleasure. So he was so excited, the Rebbe, he covered staying by him. So he comes to the man's house, fancy house, everything. So after he's relaxed a little bit, he says to the Balabas, he says, here, come with me for a second. So he goes to the window, he opens up the drapes, he's looking out through the window, through the glass, and he says to the Balabas, what do you see out there? So he says, oh, I don't know, I see a street full of people walking back and forth and everything. He says, yeah, okay, now come with me for a second. And he goes to a different part of the house where there's a bureau with a mirror. And he says, what do you see there inside the mirror? He says, oh, I see myself. He said, very good. He said, you know what? The Rebbe said to him, you see, the window is what? It's glass. This mirror, what is it made of? It's also glass. So what's the difference? How come over there when you look out the window you see everybody out in the street, and when you're looking at the mirror you only see yourself? So the Rebbe told him, you know what the difference is? The mirror has a coating of silver. In Hebrew, say kesef. Has a coating of kesef. So he said, that's the only difference. Meaning that, you see, if you don't have the kesef, you see everybody. So there's a little bit of kesef involved, and you only see yourself. Teaching him a lesson that before he became rich, nice, I helped everybody, whatever. Now, a little bit of money, now he only sees himself. Become selfish. Okay. Another pshat in the pasuk, but with in kesef talve asami, brings here a maimer. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, kol hanosim pruta la'ani misparach b'sheish brachos. So whoever gives a little bit of money to an ani, he gets a blessing of six brachas. But mefaiso bedvarim yisparach biyud aleph brachas. And if he appeases him with words, he gets 11 more brachas. So the question is asked on the lashon over here. It says, if you give an ani money, fine, that we understand, he gets six brachas. And if you're mefaiso bedvarim, then you get 11. What's mefayes means? It means you appease him. So yes, what? There's a funny lesson. What does it mean to? Why do you? You don't have to appease a nani. Appease if you do something wrong to a person, right? You have to appease him. Should have said, and if you comfort him or you give him encouragement or something like that. It should have said. Why does it say if you appease him? It's the wrong lesson. So the Orach Chaim says a very good pshat in the we said in our pasukim kesef talve asami asami meimach. So he writes like this, that im kesef means if a person sees that Hashem gave him money and he has what to give, im kesef, then he should see to it that talve esami, okay? And that he should give a loan, talve esami, lend his money. But when he does so, es ha'ani imach, he should realize that what he's giving is really the ani's portion, as ha'ani imach, the ani which is with you. Meaning that this money that you're giving, don't think it's your money that you're giving this ani. This is the ani's money that Hashem gave you, the Balabais, gave you extra money to give to this ani. Ah, Mele, Or Chaim says, beautiful. Now we can understand why it says that you have to appease the ani. Why? Because think of it. Here's the rich man, he has the ani's portion by him. And the ani is like saying, excuse me, this isn't fair. You have my portion by you, and I have to go knocking on doors or whatever and getting my portion from everybody. And what do you have mine? Why? That's not fair. Why, everybody should have their own portion. You have my portion. I have to go begging? It's not fair. So Mela, he said, that's why it says you have to appease the ani. You have to comfort him and say, okay, it's true, I feel bad for you, it's true, I have your portion, here, take it, I feel bad for you. And we have to appease him because you really have his portion. That's the proper Ashkaf. Funny, last thing, it says that Galinsky said that he was once at in Muncie, which by Shabbos, by Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, that's all. And Rav Yaakov told me, he said, on Sunday, it's a bar mitzvah. I'm making a bar mitzvah for one of my grandchildren. And I want you to come and I want you to speak. So he said, like, couldn't refuse a guttle. And so he came. So First, Rachel said to Galinsky, okay, please get up, you know, say something. So he says, no, it says, Chacham eino medaber lefi mi shegadol mimenu. Chacham doesn't speak to somebody in front of somebody who's greater than him. So he says, you please go first. Fine, so Yaakov got up, and he said, I have a question. He says, you see this, my grandson here, this bar mitzvah bachar? He says, he happens to be a bucky already in the babas, in Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, and Baba Basra, even Sanhedrin and Kedushin. He says, now I got a kasha. What's the kasha? The pasuk says in Koheles, Tov yeled misken v'chacham, mimelech zaken v'chsil. And the Gemara darshens out that Tov yeled misken chacham, that's talking about the Yetzer Tov. Why is he called a yeled? Because the Yetzer Tov only comes into a person when he or has control on another person when he's bar mitzvah. Whereas Melech Zakein Vekasil, that's talking about the Yetzer Hara. Why is he called a Zakein? He's old. Because the Yetzer Hara we have already when we're born, from the time we're born. So he says, so I got a kasha. So how could it be that this yeshiva bacher, he's only 13, this turned 13, until only now he's got his Yetzer Tov that comes into the picture. How is he able to learn so much and be a Talmud Chacham, budding Talmud Chacham at the age of 13, when until now only he had the Yetzer Hara ruling over him? So, good kasha. So what's the answer? So, he said that I once came to a school, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, he said, I came to a school and to test the kids out a little bit. So I asked him a question. It says by Har Sinai, it was in last week's Seder, and actually the actual words are in this week's Seder, that Klal Yisrael said, Naaseh V'Nishma. You say, Agav, he doesn't say this, but the Pasuk, Naaseh V'Nishma in this week's Seder, and Pasuk in Perek Kaf Dalet, Pasuk Zayin. So somebody once pointed out, Kaf Dalet is 24, right, and Pasuk Zayin is 7. 24/7. We have to realize that, you know, and we have to say Nasa V'Nishma 24/7. Anyways, so Rav Yaakov asked the question. He says, "Lechor, when Hashem, you know, said I offered the Torah to Klal Yisrael, so what do they say Nasa V'Nishma?" He says, "Lechor, the lashon is funny. Shouldn't they have said Eese V'Eshma?" Each one was talking for his own. So why did they? We will understand. What do you mean we? You're talking. How can you speak for your fellow man? You should speak for yourself. You're like, okay, I will listen. But how can they say we will? So, good question. So to answer, he said, "Yaakov, you know what I did to answer? Give them an answer. I pulled out a piece of chocolate from my pocket. And I says, who wants this piece of chocolate?" I asked the kids, and they all said, "We do, we do, we do." So I said to him, wait a minute, what do you mean we? How can you say we do? How do you say we? Maybe it's only you. Huh? No, they said, because everybody loves chocolate. I think I can speak my fellow, because everybody loves chocolate. I said, how about I we? It's understood. So Mele, he says the same thing over here. That's why they said Nasa V'Nishma. They got the Torah. Oh, they all wanted the Torah. We do, Nasa V'Nishma. Of course, they're getting chocolate. I can speak for my fellow men. Of course we want the Torah. Nasa V'Nishma, we can say we. So he said, therefore, this bacher, you know, the Torah for him is like chocolate. Right? He loves it. So therefore, you want the Yetzer Hara, you can become a budding Talmud Chacham. So Rav Galinsky was then given the podium. It's your turn to speak. So he said, fine, I just want to add a little, one extra thing to what the Rashiva said. And that's the following. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Beis, famous Gemara. Then in the future, it says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to say that whoever was Osek in Torah should come and get schar. Come and get your schar, whoever is Osek in Torah. So what happens, the Gemara says, all the Goyim, all the various nations are going to come and to get their schar. And the Gemara gives some examples that Rome is going to come and say, oh, you know, we made all kinds of shvakim, we made markets, and we made bathhouses, and we made lots of money, and everything we did was only for Yisrael, that they should be Osek in Torah. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say to him, Shoitim Shevo'olam, Komash Asisim, Letzorach Atzmechem Asisim. You did it for the Jewish people, so they can be Yosef Gedor. You did it for your own, the markets, you did it for yourself, not for Klal Yisrael. And then the Malchus Paras is going to come, same thing, we made bridges, we made this and that, and then Hashem to forge this so they can learn Torah. Hashem says, yeah, you did it for yourself. So, etc., etc. So all the nations are going to come, and he says, a pella, you know, here are these nations that cause us such soros and redifus and pogroms or whatever, and just because we got a side benefit from them, they're running to get the schar for it. But he says the biggest pella is that Gemara doesn't say the Klal Yisrael asked for the schar. All the nations came when Hashem announced, who wants schar, come and get it, and all the goyim came who hardly did anything, and they did nothing really for us, and they're trying to get the schar. Klal Yisrael didn't come and ask for this schar. So what's pshat? So the answer is, he says, it's very, very clear according to what Rav Kamenetsky said. And that is because to Klal Yisrael, the Torah is like chocolate, right? If they give a kid a chocolate, is he going to say, now give me a prize for taking the chocolate? Give me a prize for taking it. He doesn't ask for a prize for taking the chocolate. The chocolate's the prize. Same thing over here. Hashem gave us the Torah, what we're going to, and we're Osek in Torah. Give me a surprise. Give us a prize, Hashem. You gave us a prize. You gave us the chocolate. You gave us the Torah. We don't have to ask a prize for the prize, for taking the prize. Mele, he says, similarly, and with this, there's a known meister with Rav Aaron Cutler, that's all. That once a father, a gvir, had his son was learning by Rav Aaron, Lakewood. And the father decided it came time for the son to go into business, his business, take him into business. The son wanted to stay learning. So he went to Rav Aaron, you know, to ask him if he can please, you know, release his son from the yeshiva because he wants him to go into business. So Rav Aaron said, you know, maybe you should let him stay and learn or whatever. So he said, but Rebbe, you know, you've come every now and then and ask me for donations or whatever, and I give you, and you always preach and say that, you know, the people that support Torah, you know, they're going to get the same Olam Haba as those that are learning Torah, the ones that support Torah. So what's the big deal if I take my son out to go into business and he'll support Torah? You said he gets the same Olam Haba. So Rav Aaron says, 100%, he gets the same Olam Haba. I didn't lie, but that's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying, but what about his Olam Hazeh? You know, he wants the chocolate. You know, let him have Olam Hazeh. You can't compare Olam Hazeh sitting and learning all day and then working. So I'm talking about his Olam Hazeh, not his Olam Haba. How would we get if he supports? Shal Zoicha to realize the greatness of the Torah, the sweetness of the Torah, and Mekayim be Mekayim, those that are Mekayim be Torah, and Zoicha the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu b'Mehirah b'Yameinu.